Well, first of all, how dare you say that the second one was disappointing? Okay. It
For
was great. It
me,
was fine. It was a great continuation
it's
from the
fine. It's
first
fine.
one.
I don't care about
I
Peter
can tell
Quill's
now.
daddy issues, though, is the
Yeah,
thing.
that's fair. Everyone, welcome to yet another episode of I Want to Talk Movies. My name is Andy.
And I'm Andrew. How's it going, Andy? How's your post Thanksgiving?
Was good. Christmas came early because we got the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, and I'm super excited to talk about it. So yeah, pretty good. A lot of family, a lot of driving, very tired, but it was, can't complain.
Nice.
So yeah, how about you? How was Thanksgiving? It even
Pretty
exists in
good.
Spain.
It doesn't
Yeah.
exist. I actually make it though for some friends. So I made a turkey and various things. I think it's actually one of the few scenarios where you can show someone like American food that's not like bad. If you know what I mean? Like it's not that American food is bad, but like America is not associated with like the best food on the planet, you know what I mean? Especially in comparison to like Mediterranean food.
There.
So I made like a turkey. I made cranberry sauce. Very hard to find cranberries actually here. Stuffing. I made a pumpkin pie, but accidentally added too much. I forget which one. Clove, and it tasted really strange. It was kind of bitter. Yeah, that was unfortunate. And then I made a green bean casserole. I made mashed potatoes. I think that was mostly it.
You know what's funny? Growing up, like one of the foods I didn't really see often, but now I see all the time because we like request it, is mac and cheese. I don't know why, but the mac and cheese and stuffing mashed potatoes are like my favorite things for like the sides. So see, the thing is, I feel like a turkey needs to be well made, and it's not like my favorites. I'm not. I don't get excited for the turkey as much as like the other stuff.
Oh, the sides
And
are
I,
better. I mean, the
yeah.
turkey's good, but yeah, it's all about the sides.
Yeah, so I mean, it's all about the sides, and then of course, like pumpkin pie is a must, and it's just yeah. So
Oh, I also did Brussels sprouts and bacon. That was good.
wait, together you can mix Brussels sprouts like okay.
That's amazing. It was roasted Brussels sprouts with like a little lemon and pepper, and then just cook up some bacon, chop it up, and mix it in.
Interesting. Okay, I gotta try that. All right. That sounds like a pretty successful Thanksgiving. And that's awesome. They got to like share some of the foods that we usually kind of, you know, that's kind of from this area.
Yeah, no, it's
But
nice. I
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, today we have, I thought we didn't have much, but then we have quite a few items. We're gonna do things that we've like been watching the last time, 'cause we haven't done that segment in a while. We're gonna do the ending of Andor, discuss that. We'll get into the holiday special, and then we're gonna get into some Phase 4 trailers, or like yeah, end of Phase 4, and then Phase 5 trailers and whatnot, and some more James Gunn stuff. But yeah, that's what we'll have going on. So I'm excited. So to start off, anything that you've watched that you've been excited about, or that you actually got time to do?
Yeah, so I've been watching a couple things now on Netflix recently. So the two and the one that I let you accurately guess. So I watched Wednesday, the new Tim Burton directed TV show about Wednesday Addams. I really like it. I mean, like, and I told you, it's literally just it's Riverdale. Like that. That's exactly what the mandate
God
was
damn
when they gave it to him.
it.
I'm
It's
sure
one of those
there's.
things that you said that I cannot not think about now that I'm like, I am, because that's something I'll mention too. I'm also watching it. But now I cannot not like associate it with Riverdale.
It's
And I
totally
knew you were going to
Riverdale,
say
right?
that.
Yeah, it's absolutely River. Well, they wanted like a CWS TV show. I guess like at the minimum it's CW-esque. I really like it. I think it's cool. I mean, like I think at the bare minimum like the character design is really, really good. It's clearly got like Tim Burton's flair and his, you know, his kind of like visual aesthetic like stamped on top of it. I've never seen Jenna Ortega in anything before this, but I think she does a super good job in it. I mean, like, I think all the characters are really well done. The only one that I think is rough is I think Gomez Adams. Like, Luis Guzman as Gomez Adams is he's got a tough act to follow with the original actor from that movie from the 90s. I think
fair.
That guy was like totally Gomez, you know.
That's fair. That's fair. And I do like this version of Gomez. And I understand, like, you cannot top the other, you know, like the original Gomez. But I do like that, you know, that Luis Guzman got this role. I was happy to see Cassandra Jones in this role too. She just perfect for the role and everything. So I've been enjoying this as much as well. So it's been really a really fun watch. I got 3 episodes left. Okay. So I might knock it off. Okay,
so you have not seen. I'm still really excited for this episode. I still haven't seen it yet, but I guess Fred Armiston plays Uncle Fester, which sounds super interesting.
Oh yes.
He's in one episode. It's the next episode I'm on. I think it's like the penultimate one. But I think that's hilarious casting. So I'm really excited just to see him play that.
That's perfect. I'm a big fan. And then Jenna Ortega, she's just killing it as Wednesday. I really like I just like her style. I think she was a Disney Child, you know, star actor, right?
Wasn't Oh, okay. Is that where she originally came from?
That she originally came from. She was recently in X.
She was in like the new Scream reboot too, I guess. I didn't see that, but apparently
she was. Yes, the new Scream reboot. So like she's blowing up. So she's gonna be huge, like getting more huge. And I think she's just like, you know how we're getting a lot of like the new young actors and everything coming up. I feel like I have a good feeling about her just, you know, being one of the next big actors that are coming into the play. But she's been doing really well. And my favorite thing too is that like, I love some of the callbacks to some of the other characters, or like how some of the old actors came, you know, back onto the show, like Christina Ricci, who was one of the original Wednesday. Super cool that she also got involved with this project. So I was excited to see her too.
Yeah. No, it's a cool show. I like it. I hope it gets another season. So I always like to see what Tim Burton's doing anyway, too. So that was good. The other thing I watched, I started watching Sandman, but I'm only 3 episodes in. Also, I think very well done and interesting and cool. Not much to say about it, but because I've never actually read the comics, but I do really enjoy it so far in terms of like how they're visualizing it. I think I heard Neil Gaiman say he thinks they've even maybe improved some of the dialogue because Sandman is quite old at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So he thinks they've kind of, but not the dialogue, maybe they think they've kind of streamlined some of the story aspects so far. I think I took a peek and I think maybe this covers like the first season's like almost 12 to 20 issues, somewhere around there.
It covers the first, like I got the first volume, which I read through, and it covers pretty much the most of the, yeah, it pretty much covers the entire volume, the first volume. So if you,
the first
and
volume,
I checked it out.
Okay.
Yeah. And I completely like loved how they like having Neil Gaiman involved and how they kind of still took from like the, you know, they didn't really change anything. They just took it and made it better and modernized it way better. So like the way that they like visually and the writing and everything was just, Sandman was one of my favorite projects that I got to see done this, this past year. Definitely was a big surprise. And like, I was hooked. I think I watched that like in 2 sittings.
Oh wow.
So I was really into it. Yeah. Yeah. No, I really, because again, like it's one of those shows that like, it's a very heavy show, very dark, but it has a lot of heavy concepts in it. And I just liked how those were expressed and everything. So yeah, I think it was well done. I appreciated it. The funny thing though, is that because I don't think Netflix doesn't own some of the characters, right? So like John Constantine is actually in the first volume, but they had to change that character.
That's what I kind of figured. Is that why they changed it to like a relative of his instead?
Something. Yeah.
That's, so yeah. They had to like, well, do yeah, someone else. It's interesting because I'm sure these things are all so confusing now, but whenever they did the licenses, and now HBO Max exists, but also like HBO seems to be licensing some stuff out now, and then the merger with Discovery, like who knows what that does. So we'll see. But yeah, it's cool. I'm glad it finally got made. It's, you know, it's a comic book that probably had deserved to be made for a long time. I'm sure there's been like, I can only imagine how many scripts people have written for this too. I'm sure like so many screenwriters have like submitted scripts to various studios for this, and then they've just been shelved for whatever reason. It seems to me like it's something like Watchmen. Like that took a long time to get made into a movie.
Definitely. And it was, because it was well written, you just needed a good visual director, and Zack Snyder is a good visual director. So it was well made.
I think, yeah, actually, I think Watchmen actually is probably one of Zack Snyder's better movies, to be honest.
Directed. And the thing is, like, if it's written by Zack, I talked to you about this, like, I love Zack Snyder, but when it comes to his writing, that is not the strong suit. His strong suit is in the visuals. Like, he makes badass action scenes and everything. But, because again, like, 300, it was just, I don't know if it was written by him. I can't recall. But it was just a great action, nonstop, like, crazy movie, right? And then, you know, like, Dawn of the Dead. That was written by James Gunn. He got credit for some of the screenwriting. So, and that's one of Zack Snyder's, also one of his good.
That's also movies. one of his best movies too. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Last thing I'm gonna mention is I watched the Mario movie trailer that released. Looks awesome. The only thing I want to point out is that the lamest thing about this movie is somehow Mario. But we'll see. I'm maybe judging Chris Pratt a little too hard, like other people, about the voice, but. I don't know. I think it's because Bowser's voice is so kick-ass. It's tough to top Jack Black. And I, unfortunately, we didn't get to hear Donkey Kong really speak. I would have loved to hear what he sounds like with Seth Rogen being Donkey Kong. Also, phenomenal casting there.
Yep. I was about to say. Yep.
So, I mean, I think it's funny. But it's not like Charlie Day as Luigi is much better either. I should probably throw him under the bus too, because I just think it's weird why they don't have like even small Italian accents, but whatever. We'll see how the movie comes out. And maybe they thought that it would be too annoying to have them have Italian accents the whole way through, even if they were like subtle. But the movie itself looks awesome. Like, I totally think the movie can make $1 billion. Like, I think it's going to be wildly popular when it comes out.
Oh yeah, I'm opening night. Like, already am planning on being there. So I'm super excited, and I agree. I feel like the other voice actors are gonna outshine Mario's voice acting. Because I just feel like there's just way more talent, and not in the sense that Chris Pratt isn't talented, but in the fact that like Jack Black is just known for just having crazy vocals. Like, not only is he like just a fun to listen to in his, you know, Tenacious D and all that. So he's just really good at that. And then I'm really excited to see Charlie Day as Luigi. I think like the kind of character and like I think it's fitting for his character. And so, yeah, I'm just excited to see. But
I don't know if that's different about Mario. I don't know if that's insulting to Luigi or not insulting to Luigi and Andy, but I hope that wasn't meant to be an insult to Luigi.
No, I love Charlie Day, okay? I understand that you know, he's one of your favorite characters, okay? So I get it.
I also want to call out really quickly the post-credit scene, if there's a post-credit scene. I hope that the post-credit scene is Wario and Waluigi.
Oh.
So.
All I'm saying is that Danny DeVito as Waluigi, calling it now.
That would be hilarious. Yeah.
I just that's all I'm saying is Danny DeVito, Waluigi, give it to me. I think he'd be that's my casting for him if he cameos. Either that post credit or we actually start to get our get our Smash Brothers trailer going. Universe.
Oh, the Smash Brothers thing. Like you see like Sonic or something. Oh my gosh.
The biggest crossover ever. But yeah, no.
Okay. Let's see, what have you been watching?
I've also been watching Wednesday, and I have 3 episodes left, so I've been super enjoying it as well. I grew up loving Tim Burton's work, so I'm a big fan of like his aesthetics and like how his touches on stuff and everything like that. So I definitely can see that, and I think it's just well done. So, and I'm now a fan of like the entire cast. I think it's fun. It's a very fun watch, so I've been super enjoying it. And besides that, like not just still on my anime anime stuff. So like I jumped back onto Mob Psycho 100, which is a fun show to watch. I also watched continuing My Hero Academia, and then I'm continuing Chainsaw Man, which is a very crazy show. So much that I ended up getting into reading those comics. And so, yeah, I've been really enjoying all of those things. Besides that, yeah, just kind of been going with the flow. So I'm just super excited to finish, to talk about the holiday special.
Okay. Well, yeah. Before we get there, the one thing that we both did finish watching was Andor. So that Andor, finished
up. Yes.
First season of Andor now done, 12 episodes down. What do you think of the ending?
I feel like the last few episodes are kind of a blur to me right now because I like watched them back to back. But it had one of my favorite. I don't know why, but this has been one of my favorite cliffhangers from any show I've seen in a long time. I don't know why I loved it so much. Just because the intensity of both those characters of like Lucen and Cassian at the very end. Like, I love the character development. Like, it's just that last episode was just so crazy. Because again, I just.
Yeah, the funeral.
Writing.
The funeral.
Mm-hmm.
The funeral is really. Yeah, no, it was really, really well done. Like all the instruments and stuff, and the way that like they incited the riot, the way that it was filmed, like the video recording of Andor's mom giving that speech and like kind of inspiring them to rebel against the Empire, and the Empire being there, like trying to like contain it. It was really powerful. I think also very like, politically relevant to like various aspects of like US and world politics at the moment.
Yep. I just enjoyed every bit of it. Again, and like the character development, it's just amazing to see. Like you see in episode 11, like Lucen's character, like just he's like, yeah, I'm a villain on my side. I'm gonna do whatever it takes to get this started. But just in the next episode, from hearing the speech from Cassian's mom and everything of like the revolt and all that kind of deal, like he got inspired from it. You can just see in like just the way his expressions were and everything towards like my favorite part of the entire thing, which is that very end of that cliffhanger, right? Because Cassian's like, anywhere I go, shit just follows me and people are just dying. So I'm getting people into like, I'm just causing trouble for other people that are getting hurt. Like my loved ones are getting hurt, and I'm tired of seeing that. So literally, the last few lines are just like Lucen wants to get rid of Cassian because like he knows too much and he just wants to be used, right? So this last few episodes is like getting his people trying to kill him, but at the very end, Cassian's like, yeah, shit keeps going wrong for people who I love or keep getting hurt. So he sneaks into the ship and then tells Lucen to like, hey, yeah, kill me. And just in that very instant, that last, you can just see by Lucen's expression, I'm forgetting the actor's name, but you can see in his expression that you're like, he's like, you're willing to die, but I know I can use you more kind of deal. Like you can just, yeah. So it's just such a great finale. I don't know. I just really liked it. I just dug that whole thing, but yeah.
No, yeah. So. I think it was excellent. I'm really happy that they pulled the trigger and just did 2 seasons too and planned for 2. because I mean, like, the second season I'm sure is going to be great. It's going to lead right into Rogue One. So I think it's, I can't wait. I think this was by far the best Star Wars TV show that they've made so far. And I think it's really interesting because I do really like, I mean, I obviously still love The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian is, I think, just like a very different beast.
Yeah.
Because it's more these like individual outings and stuff. I do think though, like, I mean, Book of Boba Fett and Kenobi, I think the weird thing about Kenobi is that, like, it had really cool things I wanted to see, but overall, I think the story just, like, didn't really make much sense to me. But it had, I did enjoy seeing Kenobi confront Vader multiple times, and I thought that was really thoughtful and really cool. And then the Book of Boba Fett, in retrospect, was like, I still think it's a cool show, and it's interesting, but, like, I've just, like, I don't know, it's just, it's such a weird season of television, especially considering that weird episode with the Mandalorian, you know what I mean? Like, it's so strange that they did that. I think the show's fine and I like it.
Yeah.
But I've never been such a huge fan of Boba Fett either, so, like, I'll take it for what it's worth. Like, I don't love Boba Fett like some other people do.
I think it was just hilarious though that, like, literally when it became like the Book of the Mandalorian, you know, during that is when, like, I think the show peaked. Like, and I dug what they tried to do for the Book of Boba Fett, but like I said, I wasn't wowed by it. It was enjoyable, you know, but I still, like you said, I think Andor and Mandalorian are still my favorite two Star Wars projects, and I feel like it's a cool division of, like, both worlds, right? Like, you get the best parts of, like, both sides. You get the best, you get the space western from Mandalorian, and then you get the cool, like, heist political side from Andor.
So I
kind of, you get the best from both worlds, I think, in this aspect.
Yeah, and then one more thing that I do really love about Andor is just, like, how you really do, it doesn't like explicitly tell you every single thing that's happening and why, and I love that because it makes it just, I don't know, I just think it's really elegant storytelling. Like, for instance, in the last episode when they had Mon Mothra, when she's picking up her husband, mm-hmm. and she's accusing her husband of gambling. They also, Andy, they mentioned that fucking casino.
Yep.
That's the casino planet. It's like, great. Fucking casino planet.
The most useless
scene. What could have been, like, probably a really cool scene too, because it's like just like this weird place where, like, people go to just, like, it's the Vegas of the galaxy, right? So it could have been cool, but it was lame. But I think it's really cool that they had that scene because they didn't explicitly tell you, but I think it's pretty easy to interpret that Mon Mothra knows she's being followed. She knows that people are monitoring her bank accounts, and she used that as a reason to kind of push them away from her, from the scent of why her bank accounts don't look right by accusing her husband of gambling.
Yep.
But they didn't say it, right? It's not like right afterwards, like, Mon Mothra got on the phone with someone and was like, oh, now they're off the scent, you know what I mean? Like, they just put it there. And if you're paying attention to everything in the episode, you'll probably come to that conclusion, like, oh, like, she did that intentionally. She knows they're following them. She knows her driver is a spy for the Empire. So, like, I really like that because it's just, like, it does make you think. I also appreciate the fact that it just forces you to pay a little more attention during the show, especially, like, and this is just, like, my individual problem, but probably a problem lots of people have, is, like, if your phone is nearby during a show, like, you'll look at it or you'll pause and get up. But, like, when I was watching Andor, I was like, no, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch Andor. You know what I mean?
Yep. 100%.
So can't wait for season two.
Yeah, I'm excited, and I'm glad. Like you said, I feel like the best shows are shows that, like, where the writers know where it ends and, like, how much time it would take, right? Again, and I use the Breaking Bad example. Like, again, my favorite thing that I think one of the interviews that Vince Gilligan said was, like, all right, we have this many situations, and this is how many episodes it would take. So let's see how we can work this out. And I thought it was very brilliant, you know? So, yeah. Huge fan. Okay. Excited for season two.
Okay, great. So before we get into the Guardians special, I thought it would be fun to talk a little bit about Phase 4 again, like, just the summary.
Gotcha.
highs and lows, you know, whatever you want to throw out, what you liked, what you didn't like before. Because I guess, I don't know, does the Guardian special, this is technically the first part of Phase 5, maybe?
Do you, is it, or is it Phase 4? I don't even know. I think it's Phase
4. Maybe it's still Phase 4. I think it could be either one. Maybe they, I don't know if they probably have it defined somewhere. But anyway, let's see. So overall for Phase 4, I mean, effectively what we got, and I think it's interesting to look at it because hopefully maybe some of this is in a bit of the rear view mirror now. I like Phase 4. I mean, like, I think it's good. It's clearly, like, it was coming off the mega highs of Infinity War and Endgame, something like very, very difficult to continue. So, like, yep. I don't want to be too critical of it because it's not that good, because it's tough to imagine and make anything that good so quickly after that. But I mean, like, I think effectively what the common ground was is that they tried to tell individual stories with new characters and see kind of what they could see what would fit. They continued a handful of other character stories like Thor and Doctor Strange. But then also what I think maybe would have been an unfortunate thorn in the side of a Phase 4 is that so much of it kind of was forced to deal with the repercussions of the snap. And some of those were in good ways and some of those were maybe in bad ways. But I think everyone was kind of forced to deal with that and acknowledge it in their own way. And I think that was probably challenging for some to figure out how to best deal with it or not deal with it or ignore it or whatever.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, so no, I agree. Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and I told you, I started rewatching some of the TV shows. I started rewatching Captain America, or no, Winter Soldier and the Falcon and Loki, because I was cooking a lot. So then for some reason, I wanted to watch some particular scenes of Captain America Civil War, which actually I realized Captain America Civil War is incredibly pivotal for like everything that comes after it. Like that movie seeded so much shit in that. And then I wanted to go back and watch some of those TV shows. I think Captain America actually, or no, I think Falcon and the Winter Soldier still really holds up. I think it's really tight. I really like John Walker in retrospect, how they kind of walked in that line of like, you know, he's really not such a bad guy, but he's just like, he just couldn't handle being Captain America, but they really could have made him mustache twirling and they didn't. Obviously Loki was still really good. I think maybe some of the lows were maybe like, the Eternals, probably kind of a low, not as good as maybe we would have hoped for, but still, you know, at least it was interesting and a little different. I don't know. What are your like kind of highs and lows of Phase 4?
I mean, they gave me one of the, I mean, Phase 4, the highest of the highs that Phase 4 gave me was Spider-Man No Way Home. Because it gave me everything I wanted from a Spider-Man movie and writing and everything. It was just a great, one of the best things I've, you know, seen from Phase 4. And probably one of my top, you know, top 5 to 3 Marvel films of all time. So there's that for, like, the movies and whatnot. And for the shows, I would have to, yeah, I mean, I'd have to say that, like, I'm stuck between Loki and, what's the other one? Loki and possibly, and I think yeah, possibly I was, because Moon Knight was just fun, but I'm also really enjoyed. I don't know, because like the shows were kind of, I guess, the majority except for like Loki and stuff. Some of them were kind of, you know, kind of on the weaker end, except for, you know, but like I adored.
I think it's because the endings aren't great. I think because yeah. I haven't finished rewatching Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I think, you know, the first 4 episodes of that are great. Zemo is awesome. It has like the Wakandas come in a really relevant, cool way. Maybe Sharon Carter was cool. Maybe that isn't as interesting, but like I think they dealt with probably actually the snap in a really interesting way. I just think the ending is a little missed it a little bit too. And same with WandaVision. I think that ending also slipped. But WandaVision is super cool, right? Like it's one of the most interesting Marvel projects they've ever done. Just like trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
Right, and
I would say I'm still Silver thing though. I think that was stupid. I think they should have just gone.
Oh yeah, the yeah.
Like they've done the whole multiverse. They knew. Like why couldn't he? I don't get it. Like it just doesn't make any sense. Like why she would have envisioned him as the other actor coincidentally, and now it's just like a joke. Like it just should have been. It should have been a multiverse. Like I don't know why they couldn't have just said this is the multiverse.
And they made a boner joke out of that too. So yeah, it's like kind of like a middle joke. Finger. Yeah, kind of like a middle finger to the Marvel fans. Like a ha ha, we got you. But it's like, So
I will say the one thing I do go back and forth a lot on too. Still, I still do really love Doctor Strange the movie, but I still question whether or not it undermines the character development that happened in WandaVision. Like it's, I think it can be rationalized, but. Even then, it's still like, well, was that the best decision in the world?
Yeah, and I mean, it explains, you know, like the corruption side and everything, you know, like, and I get it. It was just one of those. It was hard, right? Because again, I had an attachment to Scarlet Witch, you know, and all that. So like, I enjoyed seeing why she became a villain. Very understandably, why she was, you know, like. Was gone crazy and you know did what she did, right? It was justifiable. So I do hope that they bring her back after she kind of like calm, you know, like is I think hopefully better, or we get a multiverse version of her. So we'll see where it goes. But yeah, I mean, Phase 4 was the weakest out of all the phases compared, you know, and as a whole, you know, because again, like you said, Endgame, Infinity Saga was just such a powerful thing, you know. So something I wanted to share is that I think there's some insider, I forgot again, this is rumors, so like nothing, you know, but like just following some stuff on Twitter that like Marvel is kind of re-looking at like how many projects they're going to be releasing, right, and whether they should be like releasing so many shows as well as movies, right, and they want to look more at the quality than like having to do with like the shows and like having too much to watch and follow.
It's funny because like they kind of have created the same problem now that comic books have, and the problem with comic books is that it seems too difficult for people to get into them because they're just like, I don't know where to start, I don't know these characters' histories anymore, I don't know how they interconnect, right. And now like they've almost have that problem, if not they probably do have this problem with the MCU now. People are like, well, I don't know how this connects. Like if someone watches WandaVision, like I can only imagine they're like, I what the fuck is this? Like, yeah. Like could you imagine like you watch WandaVision and the only ones you've watched are like some random ones, like maybe you've seen like the Avengers, like you saw the first Avengers, you saw Infinity War, maybe like the Iron Man movie, like the real big ones, and now you're watching this and you're like, I'm so confused about what's happening.
Yep. So
it's tough.
I agree, though. I think I'm in favor that like as much as I'm a Marvel fan of like and I'm gonna continue watching all this stuff, right? I do think there is just a lot that you know that happened in Phase 4, and I think Marvel has learned from it, right? Because like now people are more excited than ever again for Phase 5 because they know what's coming, right? There's an excitement. And I think for Phase 4, there was no excitement for what was coming. It was just kind of like, oh, we're having these shows, so be excited. But there was no bigger picture stuff, right? Which is something that, like, most fans always look forward to, right? Like, oh, there's Thanos, the big baddie. Oh, he's finally coming. Oh, like, you know, we're hinting at, like, you know, at least from the first phase, like, we're hinting at, like, oh, we're going to get, you know, like, we see the hammer in, you know, in one of the post-credit scenes. We see, you know, Tony Stark coming in with the Avengers, you know, initiative. Like, all the little things that will... The interconnectedness is... I do miss it, and I think it was fun to see. And it was rewarding for those... Yeah, sorry?
No, keep going.
Nothing. It's just it was rewarding for those... A little bit of a reward for those who have been following the MCU, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, there was less loose ends to follow in up through the Infinity Saga, because now actually I was looking, there's a list online of all the loose ends they have, and there's like a million of them that they're going to follow up on. I mean, there's some big ones that are like the biggest ones is probably like whatever Valentina's doing, the connections to Kang, some things with like the mystical stuff like Shang-Chi and like what that magic stuff is. But then there's all these small ones, like what the fuck is Nick Fury doing in space? Like all sorts of stuff that has not been followed up yet that will be followed up. Like Thor has a follow-up now, I guess, but also Hulk has a follow-up. You're like, oh, they brought in Hulk's son. Like, what the hell does that mean? So there's so many of it, and it is becoming like a bigger web of things. I love it. I will ride this train until it just like totally gets buried and like no one wants to make these movies anymore. Like, I just don't care. And I'll just appreciate the fact that it happened.
Yeah, well, same here. No, I'm gonna, like I said, I'm still a fan, you know, but you can tell that, you know, when something is a little bit, you know, you can tell what were some of the peaks and what were some of just like, okay, you know, mid tier stuff. So like, yeah, so yeah. Phase 4 was compared to some of the other stuff, like, you know, there were some more better projects done in the other phases in Phase 4.
Yeah.
Not to say I did not enjoy them. I'm just,
that's, yeah, no, I agree.
Stance comparison. So yeah, no, that's kind of what
peaks Andy and mid tier. Is it fair to say, would you be offended if someone said that the Guardian special was mid tier?
I hate you because that's already happened in real life to me. All right. My boss is also a big nerd. And so when I go into the office, he asks me and I'm like, oh, because I'm already going to tell you, like, I enjoyed it. I said, like, oh, yeah, I super enjoyed it. And I even expressed, I'm like, disclosure, I have a bias towards the Guardians of the Galaxy because they're, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy because they're one of my favorite teams. And, you know, like, I just super enjoyed Volume 1 and 2. And, you know, so, like, yeah, I'm going to be biased to enjoying them. And I love how James Gunn has presented them. So, like, yeah, I'm going to be more biased from my lens. But my boss is like, oh, it's just all right. And I'm like, I got offended. And not, like, seriously offended, but I act out offended. Because I'm just like, well, what the heck? Like, you know, like, it was fun. And they're like, well, nothing really happened. I'm like, it was a holiday special. You know, and we'll get more into the details when we get into it. But no, I like to act dramatic with that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, I've heard it before that it was mid tier or whatever. So I'm just like, whatever. So wait, don't tell me, Andrew. No, I don't think it's mid tier,
but I think you just have to know what to expect. I totally agree. I mean, I was excited to watch it. Like, I went out and I got like bought some nice takeout dinner. Brought it back, got everything, you know, prepared and ready, and fired up the Guardian special, you know?
I think it was, I came back from Thanksgiving because I had to drive there and back, so I got back around midnight, and it was up, so I'm just like, well, you know what? We're just going to do it. Christmas and / you know, with my birthday, so I'm like, cool. Like, my birthday present is going to the Galaxy, you know? So I'm like, awesome. I'm digging it, and then... So yeah, I've seen it twice. So that's how much I tell you. Yeah,
that's fun. I mean, like, I think it was fun. I think the one thing that maybe some people were disappointed in, myself slightly, but then also like I realized it's not such a big deal, was because it's called Guardians Special, you kind of expect the Guardians all to be predominantly in it, and maybe that's just an inact. You know, you shouldn't assume anything. So I think maybe some people were like maybe a little bummed, like, oh, it's mostly just Drax. And
well,
Mantis.
Well, let's get into discussing this then for Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. All right, so we already know what our first impressions are, right? And to argue against what you just said, they were all in it, okay?
Except for
Gamora.
Right. I guess you're right.
And this was a 44 was credited with a 44 minute. You know, runtime, so you can only do so much in that time. And again, like, I think James Gunn just wanted to have fun with this, and still was in those 40 minutes of, you know, show, like, he still was able to pull some of the emotional strings. Like, I love the animation bringing back Yondu, of like that whole, you know, him, you know, hating on Christmas being Yondu, right, and giving Peter a hard time. You know, and of course, what's his name? The guy who has, I have it here.
Gunn's brother.
Yeah, Sean Gunn's brother, who is Kraglin. Yeah, Kraglin.
Yeah.
So, So I just like how Kraglin still is kind of like the butt of the joke, you know, and like kind of still presents a whole idea that like, oh yeah, Peter's always sad every single Christmas, which isn't true. We just know that, like, you know, he's just kind of doesn't get Christmas and is heartbroken still from the Gamora situation. So I think it was cool that we got to go into an adventure with Mantis and Drax. Because I think it was cool that we got some time with Mantis. Because I think it was more heavily based on Mantis and trying to connect with Peter because she knew that she was related. The whole thing is that she knew that she was related to him and wanted to do something special, you know, because he was sad. And so I really liked that development.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that Drax is a little too goofy to be the focal point of anything? He's pretty goofy. I mean, if anything, one of the things I walked away with, and I was like thinking about it, which is fine because they did the same thing with Thor. And I was just like, man, this is such a wildly different Drax, like totally. But so is Thor. Yeah. Thor. I mean, this is more different. Like Drax is more different than Drax in the comics than Thor is different than Thor in the comics. Yep. But like, I think seeing Drax for so long as the primary character in a way that we've never seen him before really even highlighted it even more. And it made me question like, oh man, like he's, I don't know. He just seems like he was being goofy instead of being literal, and I always thought his stick was like he's goofy because he's literal. So I don't know, it was weird. It was a little weird and jarring at times. I think like his, like, I don't know, it was funny that he wanted the little snowman, but I'm also like, why does he care about the snowman?
Oh, the elf. Yeah
the elf. I was like, it's a funny bit at first, but then also like I was like, okay, this is also Drax, like why does he care? But I think it's because he wants it to be funny. It has like a different tonal, I think it just has a different tone than you'd expect from the movies, and comics often do that anyway. Like sometimes in certain contexts, characters are more ridiculous, more fantastical, more serious, less serious, whatever. And maybe that's what he did on purpose. I'm not so sure.
Sure. I mean, you still get a little bit of that literal sense, but as for more goofy than usual, I would say so. You know, so it's and I can see that. Which was Drax like the most goofy out of all the things that we've seen in this one? Yes. So I would agree that if it kind of would have, I don't want to say ruined, but if it kind of took away from like his character compared to like the comics, like it's just a completely different person for sure.
Yeah. But having said that, I thought it was funny. Like pulling in Kevin Bacon is super funny. Then just like showing up on Earth and like kidnapping him was funny. Seeing them fight and stuff was good.
Yeah, and you finally got to see, you know, again, like with Mantis, we didn't get to see much of her, like, you know, how she fights and gets down and everything like that. And it was kind of cool that she still is a passive kind of person. Like she's not gonna do something to kill. You know, she's gonna be like, all right, let me take him down by like just putting him to sleep. And it was really cool that, like, we got to see more of her just to kind of, again, get more connections with, like, everybody. Because she was the person that we least knew of when it came to the movies and whatnot. So yeah.
A question, too. Did Mantis ever talk to Steve Rogers? Like, ever? I thought it was a funny joke that she sees Steve, like, or she sees the guy dressed up as Captain America and freaks out. But I was like, I don't know if they've ever talked.
Hey, you never know, you know. And I just thought it was a funny thing to see. I did try to remember whether or not like that she was with them or not, because she also disappeared, right?
I guess we just have to assume someone filled her in at the end about how it all got fixed, and she knows that Captain America had a big hand in doing it. I did think it was really funny that Drax got hit on at the gay bar. That was pretty funny.
That was great. I loved it. It was fun. And again, like James Gunn did a really, you know, good, you know, using the fish out of the water technique and all that kind of deal. And like how different, it was cool to see. Like, again, we got some montages and a lot of music, very, you know, so for the theme. And then Kevin Bacon was just awesome to see in this, and all the Batman joke that was hilarious too. Just kind of.
And does this mean Kevin Bacon now cannot be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a normal character?
Well, you know, he was a normal character. He's Kevin Bacon because again he
plays Kevin Bacon.
Oh, I see what you mean.
But like, can't bring him in now as like, okay, like Kevin Bacon is now going to be, I don't know, the next villain of I don't know, he's going to be like the Rhino. That would be a really strange casting for the Rhino, I think. But okay, let's pretend.
But you know what? Here's what I'll argue towards that is that there are now variants. So there's a different variant where he is another person, another like villain somewhere else. You never know. The multiverse it's you know, a never ending thing of ideas. So you know, possibilities, I guess, right? So that's where we're at with that. But I couldn't wait any longer for this part. But my favorite thing, and I thought of you, was when Nebula gives Rocket the present to him.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Like, I just, he get so.
Was that the new arm or was that the old arm?
I think that was the old arm.
Because that would be funny. I should go back and check it out. Because Bucky's had two arms, right? Like, he has the new Wakanda one, and then he probably got rid of the old one.
He did. And I think that's the arm. So the old arm was the one that,
that Nebula got?
That Nebula got, right.
Nebula also dancing, like seeing her awkwardly dance makes me want to see Nebula dance in a club with Zemo, because Zemo had that funny scene where he like pumps his hand in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Zemo doing his dance was delightful. Nebula doing her dance was very frightening. Okay, because it kind of scared me just because her face was so straight faced and serious, which is letting her body. It's just again, and Karen Gillian, she's honestly a very funny actor, and I love her for it. She's just great, and so for her to be able to embody that and still use her like her physicalness to be, you know, to be funny like that, like it's just great. So I had a lot of fun with that. Laura, what do you think about Cosmo? We finally got Cosmo.
Oh yeah, that was great. Actually, I think this was my favorite part. In all honesty, I was always bummed they didn't have Cosmo in the other ones, especially since they showed Cosmo once. I was like, oh man, I wish he like talked. But that was awesome. I think that's my favorite thing, to see Cosmo, and he's also kind of acting like a dog, but also he's talking like a normal person. Kind of reminds me of Doug from Up a little bit.
I dug the character. I'm excited to see Cosmo.
I hope Cosmo is in the third one. I didn't see him. Maybe we should just shift towards the trailer. I didn't see him in the trailer, but I really hope Cosmo has like a couple of scenes. Because now I think it's cool too. They own Nowhere, so there's a couple other things they mentioned for the MCU, right? So in this, they mentioned they bought Nowhere. They're fixing it up. It's now kind of their base of operations, which is also what it was in the comics. Like.
Yeah,
Cosmo was like running the base for the Guardians out of Nowhere.
Yep. No, and that's where I first like got associated with Nowhere, because like I read some of the comics after the first Guardians, because I was just super into it. I just like wanted to, you know, like really read it. And but no, I'm excited that they finally have their own headquarters and everything. Just to wrap up the holiday special, like I just, again, why I enjoyed most of it, because it was just a great fun from everything. And so to wrap it up with the whole, I like the ending was also, again, James Gunn knows how to pull on the emotional strings, because that's where Peter got his blasters. So that was a cool sentiment there. But yeah, any final thoughts on the holiday special before we go on to the trailers and
no phase? I mean it's fun, and I really like the format of this. I hope they intend to continue using it for other stuff, like even if it's just holiday themed. Like you could do a cool Captain America theme for 4th of July. You could do all sorts of cool stuff for different holidays.
Sick. No, for sure. All right, well, let's get into the next to some of the trailers. So we have two trailers that came out. We have the Ant-Man trailer, right? The third one or second one?
I don't know. I thought this was the first one. I've never watched an Ant-Man trailer before this. These are the only trailers I intend to watch for Guardians or Ant-Man. I will not watch anything else that's revealed.
Because I've seen two of them. One of them was more on the funny side, and then the second trailer that I saw was just kind of like a... They used a lot of the Endgame clips.
The one that used a lot of the Endgame clips, I think, is the most recent one.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. We finally got to see Jonathan Majors as Kane, so I'm like super excited to see him in action, because I think he's just gonna be awesome. I could already feel it. So
yeah, I think so. I think the thing I liked, and it's similar for both of these, is that like I am so happy they're just like leaning in hard into the ridiculous science fiction shit and like the Jack Kirby-ness of everything, all of this weird fucking stuff that Jack Kirby drew and pulled out of his mind and like put in so many of his comics. Like, I'm so happy to see it like in like visualized on screen, and like the Quantumverse looks awesome. I feel like this Guardians trailer that they showed, like, it looks like the Guardians movie I really wanted to see for Guardians 2, which I think for me Guardians 2 is probably one of the more disappointing ones, because I really wanted to see that first that movie that I thought the first 10 minutes was leading into, with them going on this big adventure, you know, weird thing, trying to fight the gold people, whoever those were. Like, and then this, I guess, the intimate story with Peter and his dad I found less interesting. I wanted the big science fiction movie.
Right.
And this looked like it, though. Like, this was ridiculous. Like, there was monsters everywhere. Their costumes look awesome. Like, it looks great.
Well, first of all, how dare you say that something was disappointing? Okay.
It was for me,
great. It was fine. It was a great continuation from the first one.
I don't care about
Peter Quill's
daddy issues, though, is the thing.
Yeah. That's fair. But for sure. And the thing is, like, I'm from seeing the trailer, which I like, I'm now, I wish I wouldn't watch trailers, but like, because I'm like, okay, it's coming out. Like, I just want to jump in and see it. But like, watching this freaking trailer, like, I just know I'm going to be wrecked the whole entire movie. Like, it's the last one from that James Gunn is doing. I'm pretty sure, like, they showed the, Lolo the Otter, Rocket's companion, or, you know. So, like, his backstory is tragic from the little glimpses that we've been given. And, like, I played a little bit of some of the video games, like the Guardians of the Galaxy Telltales, and some of the comics in the background. Like, I have a feeling that this is going to be, like... I don't want to call it now, but like, I have a feeling that they're going to end up killing off Rocket, which I'm like really upset about.
I wouldn't be surprised if they kill off a lot of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they get stuck somewhere. I mean, like in the comics, Peter Quill got stuck in the Cancerverse for a long time. And honestly, that's what that looked like to me. It looked like they were in the Cancerverse.
Gotcha. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, so I'm ready to be emotionally wrecked on this one. But it looks,
I mean,
great.
I still think the Guardians as a team could exist after, though. And someone else could make more Guardians movies, depending on, like, kind of who's still there. I mean, I think it's pretty good to assume Dave Bautista, I think, is definitely out. Because he's also just publicly said, there's only so long I can do the shirtless things for movies, I think, kind of thing, where, like, he's getting older and maybe doesn't want to be doing that all the time.
Right.
I would assume Dave Bautista is probably out. I don't know why, but I feel like Chris Pratt maybe is out too, but who knows? Maybe they can convince him to come back if his character doesn't die.
Cause they start doing like, a certain amount of project contracts, right? I think it's just like what's upcoming and be like, hey, are you willing to come back for this? Right. Cause now again, like, why I hate social media is that there's rumors of like, oh, there's rumors that we're talking to, like, you know, Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. for like coming back, because Kevin Feige is talking to all the people who were superheroes, you know,
for
the
last, Secret Wars, you know, right?
For everything, yeah. And it's not talking about just, you know, like Marvel superheroes, like from just the MCU. It's talking about like all Marvel superheroes that, like, you know, even from like X-Men from Fox version, all that kind of deal. So we'll see. But
oh my god, it's gonna be ridiculous.
So yeah, I mean, I don't have
at some point in time, like Secret Wars, like when you're filming Secret Wars, it's just gonna be like every single major Hollywood actor ever because they've all been superheroes at some point in time.
Yeah, they did it with Endgame. But anyway, right?
Yeah, they did. But back to the Guardians thing. I also think it's awesome. I really like the actor that they pulled in for the Haya Evolutionary. I didn't realize until this trailer that that was the guy he was playing. I forget. So I have his name here because he was also in Peacemaker. So he's worked with James Gunn before.
Yeah.
Chuck Woody. I hope I pronounced that right. I don't know. He's a Nigerian-British actor. I think his first name is pronounced hopefully Chuck Woody, but he was the guy who ended up being like the, I don't know, the butterfly alien in Peacemaker.
Yes.
And I think a while ago I had read or they had revealed that he was working with James Gunn on Guardians 3. I had no idea. Maybe they announced this a while ago and I had missed it, but so he's going to be
the... They announced it a while.
Okay. I think that's cool. Great. I like the High Evolutionary. So I think it's cool that there's going to be the High Evolutionary and Adam Warlock. We'll see like whether or not Adam Warlock ultimately ends up being, I guess, a villain or like an anti-hero or like ends up teaming up with them, how that ends up happening. Adam Warlock also has like this deep connection to the Soul Stone, but the Infinity Stones are gone. So I guess we'll see how they kind of deal with that too, if the Infinity Stones are kind of off the table to use now.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. And I think, you know, one thing is that James Gunn is creative, so I'm pretty sure they'll put a different spin on his, you know, what he can do. Just like with Mantis, her abilities are slightly different in the comics than they are in the movie.
So. Well, he's taken a lot of liberties. I think he's also, like, I think this is a very different Gamora. Like, Gamora very much is, like, very brutal. Like, she's not a romantic interest for many characters. Because, I mean, she's kind of like Drax. She's just like pretty focused on whatever her missions are at the time being, and she's incredibly dangerous. So, I have to be honest, also, I've never really been super fond of the Quill-Gamora romance either. It never felt that necessary to me, I guess, but, you know.
Yeah, agreed.
It is what it is.
Agreed. I mean, I just like the actress, Zoe Saldana. Like, I can... She'd probably be one of the only few reasons why I would possibly go see the Avatar Way of the Water. That's about it. So,
did you hear that movie cost like it has to make like $2 billion to be successful or something? Some people were calculating based on like how much it costs and the advertising they've paid into it already.
Not surprised. I'm not surprised.
That's ridiculous. Has a movie ever made $2 billion?
I mean, yeah. Like the first Avatar right now is that. What did the Dark Knight make? Dark Knight. Well, we can see we're talking here. Okay, there's two different things, right? We're talking domestically, and if we're talking globally, like
I'm talking globally. $2 billion globally. Is that how many movies have made $2 billion globally?
A lot of movies.
Really? Okay. I thought that was a real... Yeah, yeah. I thought they were effectively like, we have to be the highest selling movie of all time or something by a lot.
No. Right now, the first Avatar is about, I think, 8 billion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like 8 billion. And I think by like 100 or one or like 100,000 or so or whatever, I think it's Endgame is under it. Because those are the two most highest grossing movies of all time right now. So, which is crazy because like the other top that's made like billions have been Avatar and again Titanic. So that's why I'm like drinking. James Cameron just has like FU money, right? Just straight up has FU money. The guy can make whatever he wants.
I don't know. I mean, like, so. It seems like he's already publicly stating they might have to consolidate the sequels if it doesn't do well enough, and they might have overshot. Like, he's like, seems like, I don't know why you'd publicly state that if it wasn't true.
But the guy, he's so cocky. In one of the interviews too, though, he's just like, oh yeah, if you need to go to the bathroom because it is a long movie, but you know, because I know you'd probably go back to the movies to see it again. So the guy's banking on people wanting to go back to the theater to rewatch this.
Yeah, I guess so. But I also think, I don't know, it's funny too, because people are also like, I love seeing like I don't even think directors really are doing it that much. I do think it's funny when I see some of the quotes where directors love to like seem like they want to make fun of Marvel movies, I guess, just because they don't like the, I don't know, they don't like what they've done to Hollywood, I guess. I don't know, we're getting really off course, but just out of curiosity, did you hear how Quentin Tarantino said like Marvel actors aren't like, and I, this is probably totally taken out of context. I never really listened to the interview, but he said they're not like, what, they're not like superstars or something, or like something. What did he use?
They're not, the people are not going to the movies to see the actors anymore. They're going to go see the characters.
Like, so, no way. Like, they're totally going to see the actors. People love these actors. That Marvel pays a lot of money for some of the most famous actors on the planet.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's cheers in both sense, right? Because again, you say, hey, there's a Spider-Man movie coming out, I'm going to go see it regardless, right? But if you tell me, like, hey, like, what's it called? Like, Chris Hemsworth is going to come out with a new movie. Like, yeah, I'm going to be, like, Extraction. Yeah, has Chris Hemsworth. I want to check it out. So.
Yeah, and I think he was made because of Thor. Like, Thor made him famous.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, sure, so Chris Evans was famous before this, too, but I think Chris Evans is so much more famous because of Captain America. And people will go see movies that he's in now more so because they associate him with his, like, iconic role, his iconic interpretation of Captain America. Like those movies made him a superstar. Like, there's no way anyone was going to be like, oh, I really love the guy who was in that shitty Fantastic Four movie. No? Like, I love him as Johnny. Like, that,
yeah, just wasn't. No, I get you.
Anyway,
yeah.
I thought it was funny, because then also Samuel Jackson, obviously, which is funny, because Sam Jackson must know Quentin Tarantino quite well, I'd assume, was just like, that's fucking wrong.
Well, Sam Jackson, he just keeps it real. He's just got, you know, and the thing is, like, him and Tarantino are good friends, so, like, he, you know, no matter what, like, that's the one thing I, like, I love and respect about Sam Jackson. Like, you know, he's like, I'll tell you what I think is, you know, and I'll be real about it. And so, but yeah, no, but going back to, like, the phase, the next phase coming up, like, I just, again, I think I'm more excited for the projects coming out this phase than I was compared to, like, the phase four, right? Because we had a lot of TV shows and, like, a lot of unknown characters, right? Like, Shang-Chi was great. Eternals could have been better. I still enjoyed it, but it could have been better. And it sucks because, like, it's not a movie that I would go back to revisit. So, which is unfortunate.
I might, but yeah, I agree. It was, like I said, it's probably one of the lower points of it.
Right. But then again, like, Phase 4 gave me Spider-Man No Way Home. So it's kind of like that, those little things, right? But, like, now with Phase 5, we're revisiting characters that we know, that we're familiar with, right? Starting with Ant-Man, and then we're going with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and then we're going to go with the Marvels, right?
Yeah, no, it is a lot more. Yeah. It's a lot more sequels in this one, actually. Oh, and if not, the new characters are like Thunderbolts is not a sequel, but it's pulling in all characters who've already been established at this point. But I think there's a couple of interesting things that we had pointed out, too. So, I mean, I started trying to look at just who is directing some of them and stuff to see, like, what's going on now. So Peyton Reed still, so he's also notably one of the few people to do all three of a single trilogy in the MCU, much like James Gunn. So he did all three Ant-Man movies. Kind of cool. I pointed out that the director for the Marvels, Nia DaCosta, she's, like, crazy young. She's, like, 33 or something. Also directed Candyman, which was produced
by Jordan Peele.
By Jordan Peele. That's interesting, I think. I'm super interested to see the direction that they take Captain America New World Order in, especially because of, you know, kind of where they left it with, like, a black man being Captain America, and now they're pulling in a Nigerian director, Julius Anoa, who's also seemingly, like, has not done, like, a lot of, let's say, big blockbuster movies or lots of Hollywood movies. I think that'll be cool. And then television-wise, lots of interesting things, too. I mean, I'm super excited for Secret Invasion. Like, I think this is one of, like, my I think, top three. Just in terms of interest, I just want to see, because maybe this is Sam Jackson's last time. Who knows? Right. But I'm really, really curious to see, because he's been like, they've been teasing him being up in space for so long, since that second Spider-Man movie, he's been up there. And then I also mentioned to you that the person who is writing that also was an executive producer for Mr. Robot, which, Andy, if you haven't watched Mr. Robot, like, you seriously have to go watch Mr. Robot. Yeah,
this is the one show I feel like you've been bringing the
it's
back.
It's the one show
I need to.
I will really bother people to watch this show, especially people who, like, it's perfect for you, dude. Like, I swear to God, like, if Breaking Bad is one of your favorite television shows, you'll love this. Because not only is it incredibly thoughtful in the same way that Breaking Bad is, with, like, I have five seasons to tell this story, the psychology aspects of, like, what's going on in this guy's head is, like, I'm sure for you, incredibly interesting because of your background in psychology.
That's fair enough. You make a good argument. I need to, yeah, I just, my attention span
seriously,
is
like,
so
just watch
fucked.
One episode, you will be hooked. I guarantee it. I if you watch that one episode and you're not immediately hooked, then, like, I would be amazed. I would be surprised.
Okay. I have to.
But anyway, the executive producer of Mr. Robot is the head writer for Secret Invasion, which is awesome, because that's one of my highest ones. And then we get a lot of other cool stuff in this one, like, you know, the writer for WandaVision is coming back for the Agatha TV show. I think they're probably the same team for Loki season two. So looks good.
Yeah, again, I'm excited for the next phase, and they're gonna I hate saying it this way too, but like, there's gonna be a connectivity, right? Like, we're gonna get Kane, and we're gonna get, you know, like, some cool stuff happening with him being the next big baddie.
I can't wait. Yeah. I'm really interested to see. I assume Kang has been in, like, a version of Kang must be stuck in the Quantumverse. And I assume, I don't know why they're going to go in there, but I have a feeling they're going to get in there and they're going to be like, get stuck. And then they're going to have to get out, and they're going to accidentally bring Kang with them, maybe. Or maybe they'll leave, like, an exit for Kang.
Yep. Yeah, but now, like, again, from, like, the ending of Loki season, like, the ending of Loki, like, there's no more, like, other kings fighting, you know, kings or whatever. There's no the one who remains that, like, make sure that, like, no evil kings come back out.
Yeah, there's no
what he's capable
there's
of.
There's no one keeping him in check, so there could be there's gonna be another multiversal king war.
So yeah, we'll see. Again, I'm excited. I'm gonna continue this train, like you said. But yeah, no, I'm excited to see where this next stuff takes us. All right. I know you wanted to mention some of the to finish up here, some of the final, bringing it back to the James Gunn. He's been talking about he was hinting at some of the DC stuff. So it's kind of I'm a little sad, but now excited. I'm sad that he's leaving the MCU, but now the man is in charge of the freaking DC universe. So it just gets you even more excited for his stuff and what's going to be happening there. So
yeah, I think it's cool. We'll see. I mean, like, I think he gets, like, more of a to play in, like, maybe an R PG-13 rated pool now, which is good. I mean, like, at least, yep, you know, for him, he does it well with Peacemaker and stuff. He supposedly now has, like, along with his, like, director or the co-CEO of I don't know, whatever the DC movies is, I guess they, like, kind of mapped out, like, a 10-year plan. Or at least James Gunn did. He tweeted, like, a picture of Kingdom Come. But it was also looked like it could just be, like, an insinuation that they're planning. So, like, I think some people interpreted it to mean, like, oh, they're going to adapt Kingdom Come in some way. Gotcha. I don't know. We'll see. I still think it's funny that every time that you'd think that Marvel or DC had the opportunity to do something first with the multiverse, and they totally fucked it up. And now everyone's going to think DC's copying them with a multiverse. But I guess everyone is kind of leaning into the multiverse now, which is interesting, that there's so many other movies and TV shows that, like, are using the concept of the multiverse along with the MCU, which is kind of funny.
Well, yeah, I mean, still to this day right now, in the past year, one of the best multiverse movies that I have ever seen is everything everywhere all at once. It's an incredible movie, and I
particularly the sausage fingers, right?
Everything was just awesome. It was so weird, but so like emotional all at the same time. It's just very creative, and I just loved every bit of it. So, yeah, we'll see where this multiverse thing continues to go. It's weird. It's on theme.
We'll see if James Gunn can kind of fix it, or if he just kind of just like does like this soft reboot and just pretends that everything's fine and just tries to make things as good as he can. I'm curious what they do with Superman. Like, I have no idea how that's gonna happen. And then I still don't believe that Flash movie is a real movie. So we'll see if that is a real movie.
Oh man. Well, I still want to make a bet that they're gonna release it.
They probably will. I guess at this point, I don't know. It's really hard for me to. I think Warner Brothers has been cutting hard lately, and then I don't know what the Warner Brothers Discovery merger really means for their TV platform. It seems to me that like there's going to be a mass amount of consolidations, I think, with the streaming services, and then they'll like be like maybe like four or five remaining, because now there's so many of them, like even like some real weird ones, like AMC Plus is now a thing, I guess. And it's like, dude, who's buying AMC Plus on its own? Yeah, like its best TV show is already on Netflix. Like, why would you buy AMC Plus?
That's true. And you have Hulu and everything that has a you know, add-ons and whatnot. You have like, if you were to add every single platform, right, without it added to like a cable bill to like $100+.
Yeah, but the thing is you have way better options at least, and you can cancel any time. But still, yeah, it could get expensive. I just feel like there's not enough rationale to buy some of these ones. Sure. I wonder really, like, because DC and Warner Brothers specifically were so keen to remove that Batwoman or that Batgirl movie because of financial reasons. Like, I just assume there has to be some kind of internal calculation going on. And like, okay, like we're still confident enough that this movie will make enough money to cover the costs of it, and it'll bring people out to the theater. I don't know if it will, though, I guess. Like, I don't even know if Black Adam is considered that much of a huge success.
I mean, it came out at least a few weeks before. What was the next big movie that came out?
Black Panther.
Black Panther. So, like, it got its run because it had a big dip after the first few weeks or whatever. But, like, I don't know. Like, it's just, we'll see. That's why, like, my most curious, and this is not, you know, going back to, like, the Avatar, I'm just, that's the movie I'm most curious to see how it will do now that it's 10 years later, post, or 10 years plus, post pandemic, right? Where we're still, and with streaming services being a thing, right? Like, people aren't going to the theater as often.
The one thing I bet it does well. And I bet it has a less huge drop the second weekend. Because I mean, like, it is a franchise, but, like, I feel like so many of the biggest movies are, like, really, really huge franchises now. At least this one feels more approachable in some ways for audiences. So I wouldn't be surprised. I think superhero movies have a history of having like pretty huge drops now at this point, because like a lot of people who know they want to see them go immediately. And then you really lose what you would like to see is that kind of like slower drop in numbers. And there's just like, there's always this big drop. Like even Black Panther had like a pretty big drop, which I would have thought because of, for various obvious reasons surrounding Chadwick Boseman, that wouldn't have had as obvious of a drop either, but I think it did.
Yeah. I mean, and also, like, we live, you know, like, and I don't know if it's just like another, you know, factor, since we're going on this kind of tangent, but, like, we also live in a world where everything gets spoiled. So, yeah, everyone's going to want to go see it in the first few days because they want to avoid spoilers as well. So, yeah. Yeah. Anything you want to add on? Or should we wrap it up?
Nope. That's good. We'll see how Avatar does next month. And then The next one we got is Ant-Man at the end of February.
Yep. We'll see what other stuff we'll talk about in between then and now. Holidays are coming up, so we'll see what's going to happen with some of the breaks. But, Andrew and I will keep talking. But Andrew, are you going to make me watch Avatar: Way of the Water? Are you going to make me watch that?
Yeah, I'm going to go watch it. I mean, you're going to go watch it. Give me a break. You're totally going to go watch it with someone. I mean, I think I truly hope it's better than the first one, because I just don't think that first movie. I think the thing that movie always had going for it was that, like, it was one of the few movies that made 3D that interesting. And I worked at the movie theater when it came out, and I remember, like, 3D movies were, like, they seemed so dumb to me, because none of them really added much to the experience, and it just always seemed like a reason to charge people, like, another $8. But when you go and watch Avatar in 3D, like, it was more interesting to watch.
Yeah.
But that's not a thing anymore. Like, no one cares about 3D movies anymore, right?
No, because, I mean, they would, like... What would they charge you, like, $20 for a
dude? It was nuts. Like, I mean, like, I don't know what it is now, if they're still doing them, but I mean, at the time, and this is 10 years ago, I think it was like $18 or something like that for the 3D movies.
Yeah,
I 10 mean, years ago, that's nuts. Can you imagine taking your kids to go see that? Like, I'm gonna go pay like $60 to go see a movie with like two kids and my wife or something.
Yep. That, not only tickets, but also concession stands, right? So you're
oh, no way. You're sneaking in that popcorn, Andy. I'm from a family that sneaks in popcorn. Sneak that in with the candy in a backpack. Make your wife bring the big purse. It's all in there.
Gotcha. Fair enough. We'll see what comes up. I'll connect with Andrew and see what's going on. But until then, this has been I Want to Talk Movies. My name is Andy.
And I'm Andrew. See you guys next time.